Today I'm continuing to talk about healing, and today I'm going to share that faith isn't all you need to receive your healing. You also have to quit disbelieving God. Those are two separate things, and I'm going to share the difference between that. It'll help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing my series on God Wants You Well, and we're just about through with 4 weeks' worth of teaching on this, and we've still got a lot to teach, a lot to share. I haven't got time to go back through and summarize everything, but I could say that the first 2 weeks were basically just trying to make the point that it is God's will for you to be well. In the middle of the third week of teaching, I begin to start talking about why isn't everyone healed? And it's obvious that if a person isn't believing, they aren't going to be healed. But from Matthew 17, we shared that the disciples of Jesus believed that God had given them the power to cast out devils and to heal the sick. They tried to cast the devil out of a boy who was having some type of seizures or something like that. And they were unsuccessful, and they said, why couldn't we do it? Now, it's obvious that they believed, and yet they didn't get the right results. So we're talking about why isn't everyone healed when they believe that it's God's will for them to be healed? Now, that's a good question. And to answer that, Jesus gave this answer to his disciples out of Matthew chapter 17. And in verse 20, he says, it's because of your unbelief. And yesterday I was trying to explain that there is a difference here. Some people think that faith and unbelief are mutually exclusive, that if you have any unbelief, then you weren't truly believing God. And if you truly believe God, there won't be any unbelief. And that is not what this is talking about. You can have faith and unbelief at the same time. Let's turn over again to Mark chapter 9. This is the exact same story in Mark's account. And Jesus told the father of this boy who they were casting the demons out of, he says in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now, Jesus didn't rebuke him for this and say, hey, wait a minute, if you've got unbelief, you didn't really believe. No, he just accepted this and went ahead and ministered healing, and this boy was healed. So this man said that he had faith and unbelief at the same time. Also, you could turn over to the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, and you could read where Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And when the first report came, a servant came and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. And when Jesus heard this, he said, fear not, only believe. Why would Jesus say only believe if believing automatically excluded doubting? Those are good questions. See, again, I'm trying to say that some people think, well, if I just had faith, all of this would work. That's not that simple. You can believe and yet not get the right results because your faith isn't pure. Your faith is contaminated with unbelief in it. Or here's another way of saying it. If you had a weight right in front of me, you could hook a horse up to that weight and exert enough power to drag this weight by the power of that horse. But if you hooked a horse of equal strength up and it pulled in the opposite direction, then you could have these two horses exerting tremendous power and force, but the net effect on the weight would be that it never moves because the forces counterbalance each other. They cancel out each other. They negate each other. And see, I think that this is true, that you can believe God and yet have unbelief that cancels that faith or dilutes your faith. It'd be just like, again, if you took tea or something, you know, if you put it in just a little tiny cup, you put a tea bag in there, and you know, you could have some pretty strong tea. But if you put just one tea bag in a 5-gallon pot of water, it's going to be really diluted. It's going to be very weak. It's the exact same amount of faith. But if it's diluted, Or, you know, it's the same amount of tea, but if it's diluted, it's, you know, you could actually just increase the volume of water till eventually you put a tea bag in the ocean and it's not going to make much of a difference at all because it's so diluted. Well, it's the same thing with faith. A tiny bit of faith, a mustard seed amount of faith is enough to see the dead raised, to see a mountain cast into the sea, to see any of these things happen. But if it is diluted or counterbalanced or canceled by an opposing force of unbelief, well, then that will stop your faith from working. And the reason that this ministered to me so much is because on our program yesterday, I told an example right after I'd seen a man raised from the dead. My faith was built up, and I thought if you can see a person raised from the dead, you can see anything else happen. And I pulled a man out of a wheelchair who fell forward on his face. And I didn't see him manifest that healing. And it really perplexed me, not about can God heal. I knew that God could. I'd already seen a guy raised from the dead. But the thing that bothered me was I knew I had faith. You don't go up and pull a person out of a wheelchair if you don't have faith. I knew I had faith. And I was expecting, I had a positive outcome in mind, not seeing this guy fall on his face. And yet, my faith didn't work. And, you know, it took me a long time to figure this out. But finally, kind of by contrasting myself with Smith Wigglesworth, I gave this story on yesterday's program, so I won't go back through it. I saw that the difference between Smith Wigglesworth and me wasn't the fact that he had more faith than I do. Nope, that's not it. It's that he had less unbelief. Matter of fact, one of the criticisms that Smith Wigglesworth often got was people said he was insensitive and he was cold and he was hard. Did you know that that's what the Bible says a hardened heart is? If you look the word hard up in the dictionary, it means to be cold, insensitive, unfeeling, and unyielding. And we can have a hardened heart. Now, you can become hardened towards God where you're cold, insensitive, and unfeeling towards God. But you can take that same principle, the same things that harden our heart towards God. If you will turn around and use them in the opposite direction, you can become cold, insensitive, unfeeling, and unyielding towards the devil. Well, that is a powerful truth. You know, I don't know if all of you are following what I'm saying here because this is a lengthy teaching and I just hadn't got time to go into it. I do have a teaching entitled Hardness of Heart, and I think again today I made this special offer yesterday that I'll offer my Hardness of Heart book to anyone that wants it. Our announcer will give you the information at the end. But that is built around this teaching in Matthew chapter 17 and talking about how that you can believe and know that it's God's will, but if you have all of this other unbelief over here pulling against your faith, it cancels it. It negates it, dilutes it. And this, I believe, is what's happening lots of times. Here's a practical application of what I'm talking about. I've seen this in third world countries myself. I've heard many people who hold these mass crusades in third world countries talk about how easier it is to see people in third world countries receive healings than it is in the United States and England and the European nations where we consider ourselves more educated and, I don't know, more sophisticated or whatever people consider themselves. Anyway, it's harder to see healings happen here than it is in other places. And you know one of the reasons why? It's because, for one thing, those people are more motivated. They don't have the social network to fall back on. In some of these countries, if a person, say for instance, can't walk, and if you can't work, then you're going to die unless you can get out there and beg or do something. But you aren't going to have the government come along and pay you well to sit there and watch television all day and eat fast food and do all these kind of things. You know what? You're motivated because there isn't any social safety net to catch you. You have to believe God. So these people are motivated. But another very important part of this is that they aren't as drilled in all of the medical jargon and stuff as people in developed countries are. A case in point, I've had more problems getting people who have medical training to get healed than anybody else. And the reason is because they spend years, usually 8 years or more, having these things drilled into them. And the teaching that they get in their college and university about healing isn't that if you see this happen, they're going to die unless God heals them, unless they know how to believe God. They don't factor God into the equation. They just are drilled. You see this, dead. You see this, paralyzed. You see this, it cannot be healed. And they have this drilled into them day after day, year after year. And it's all of that is speaking unbelief to them. Unbelief isn't just, you know, concerning God, that His existence or something. But if God says that by His stripes you're healed, and if the doctor comes up and says, oh no, you aren't healed, you've got this problem and you will have it and there is no cure for it and you're going to die from it. Well, then you know what? Unbelief comes through those words. You could still believe that God exists. You could believe that when you die, you're going to go to be with the Lord. But when it comes to healing, you can receive unbelief by a negative report. You can receive unbelief just by the way that you were brought up. You could have been told your entire life that you go outside in the cold weather and you're going to catch cold. Did you know I've read some medical things that they say that that isn't true, that being out in the cold doesn't cause you to have a cold. What it will do is make your nose run. And, you know, that is one of the symptoms of a cold, but you don't have a cold. But people just use that carnal reasoning. They've come up with this saying, and if you've been taught your whole life, go outside and your nose runs, you've got a cold. Well, then you could sit there and believe for it, and you could have unbelief and fear that you're going to catch it. And so you could receive something negative through that. But see, that's just an old wives' fable. It's not true. It doesn't actually happen. So my point is that you can know that God wants you well, but if you go get a checkup and the doctor says this is wrong, most people, they put as much or more stock in what a doctor has to say, in what a lawyer has to say, in what the banker has to say, in what your husband or wife or parents have to say, what your friends have to say. We put worth and value on those things equal to, or in many places, greater than what God's Word says. And if you do that, well, then you may know the Word of God, and you may have enough faith to say, I know God wants me to be well. And you could have faith, but that faith will be diluted and canceled, negated by the words that everybody else is speaking because you entertain them and allow those things to operate. Now, see, when it comes to believing, most people don't have this concept that you can have faith, but then you can have unbelief pulling in the opposite direction. So if you were to get sick, most people just think, oh, I've got to study the Word more. I've got to get more people to pray for me. I've got to build my faith. And they just think, I need to believe God harder. It's really, in most cases, not the fact that you need to believe God harder. What it is, you need to cut off these avenues of unbelief that are being thrown at you. For instance, if most people were to be told that they had some rare disease that they had never heard of, you know what most people would do? Instead of going to the Word of God and building their faith and just saying, it doesn't matter, it's got a name, and the Bible says that Jesus has been exalted above every name. So as long as they can put a name to it, Jesus is above it, I'm healed, end of story, that's it. But with most people, they'll be curious and they'll want to learn everything that they can. And so they get on the internet, they go to reading books, they study, they ask people, have you ever heard of anybody? And they accumulate all of these negative things that have been spoken about. Oh yeah, this is really bad. It's terminal. Nobody has ever lived with this. And you accumulate all of this unbelief and you pile it up to the roof and you get all of this unbelief. And then you say, well, Father, I'm believing you. And then you wonder, why is it that my faith isn't working? It's because you only have this little mustard seed amount of faith, which is enough if it wasn't counterbalanced by this huge mountain of unbelief over here. And yet most people don't see this. I'm telling you, as important as it is to build your faith, it's just as important to limit the inroads of unbelief unto you. And most people, this is just like they're blind to this. They don't see this at all. They will allow anyone and everyone to speak negatively about them. You know, I think it was just yesterday I was out driving around and I heard on the radio some kind of a thing. It really didn't penetrate me, but they tried to penetrate me with some ad about as you get older, and they started saying this happens and that happens, and they were soliciting people for some kind of a clinical study, and if you're over 50 and if you've ever had this. And you know what? Before they got very far into it, I switched stations. I turned that off. I said, I'm not listening to this. I don't care how old I get. Moses was 120 years old, and his eyesight wasn't dim, nor his natural force abated. And I said, I am not going to sit here and start accepting all of these problems as I get older. Now, some people think, well, you're just in denial. Well, absolutely. Amen. I am absolutely in denial of that. If it worked for Moses and I've got a better covenant, it's going to work for me. My eyesight's not going to be dim. I am not going to have to wear glasses. I am not going to have to get hearing aids. I am not going to be decrepit. As long as I'm here, I'm going to be healthy. Now, I'm not saying that I'll sit there and at 80 do the same things that I did at 20, but you know what? I'm not going to be infirm. I'm not going to be sick. And one of the ways that that happens is I not only have the faith, I've got scriptures that say that Moses was strong and still able to go out and come in at 120, and that what I have is greater. I've not only got the scriptures and faith about this, but when I start hearing something that brings unbelief to me, I turn it off. I renounce it. Every once in a while, I'm in a situation where I can't just turn off the source of unbelief, but I'll counter it. I found out that, say, for instance, if somebody sees me and they go to, I don't know, they go to saying something and saying, well, you know, I believe that this is going to start happening to you as you get older. If I can't turn them off, what I'll do is counter it. And I found that if I'll sit there and say, not me, this isn't what I'm believing for, and if I'll speak forth my faith and if I'll deal with it right there before it ever gets on the inside of me, then I can deal with it and it's gone. Just like this advertisement I was telling you about that I heard on the radio yesterday. I can't even remember the specifics of it because I dealt with it and boom, it's out of mind and it doesn't have any sway over me. But if for whatever reason, if I don't want to offend somebody and so I just let somebody speak their death over me and then when I get by myself, I have to renounce this and counter it, it's harder to dig it out and get it out of your heart and out of your mind than it is to just close the door and never let it enter. And you know, there's a scripture over in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall arise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Notice it says here that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You have to condemn it. You have to say something about it. In other words, this isn't something that just works automatically. This isn't saying that it'll be like water off a duck's back. Nobody will ever say anything that'll hurt you. This is saying that you have the ability, the anointing and the power from God to overcome every negative thing spoken about you. But notice it says you have to condemn it. You have to speak against it. You have to pass a judgment against it. I'm telling you that there are many of you who have enough knowledge of the Word. You know that by His stripes you're healed. And you've got a little mustard seed amount of faith and you're thinking, why aren't I healed yet? It's not because you don't have faith. It's because you allow all of this unbelief to come your way. You read magazines and articles and listen to programs and have friends and relatives talk about their relative who died of this and had this problem, and you let unbelief be spoken, and without even realizing it, you just are saturated in unbelief. And it's not that you don't have faith, it's that your faith is negated, counterbalanced, canceled, because of all of the unbelief that comes to you contrary to this. You know, here's another example of this that my mother, she's a great lady. She just turned 95. She watches this program every day. And boy, what a blessing my mother's been in my life. But there was a time that my mother had a thyroid problem. And she talked to me one night. I remember her putting her finger on my throat and pressing on it, saying, this is what it feels like. all of the time. And she had taken thyroid medication since she was a little girl or a teenager or something like that. She'd taken it for decades. Anyway, I ministered healing to her. I prayed with her. She got healed of that. She threw away her thyroid medicine. And I mean God supernaturally healed her. So my mother got to believing and started walking in healing and was doing really good. And I even saw on a calendar one time that where she had written that, "I am the healed." And she made a statement and she started walking in healing and some good things started happening. And then she was going down to visit my aunt in Texarkana, Texas. And this aunt was very instrumental in raising her, nearly like a mother to her. And I'd been down there hundreds of times. And the first thing you did after you said hi, then you start asking, "Well, how's so-and-so? I haven't seen that." And you start talking about who's died recently, who's got this and who's that, and how sad this is and about everybody. And it's just negative, 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 negative. And anyway, I told my mother as she was headed down there, I said, "You know what? You're going to have to condemn these words. When they start speaking sickness and things like that, I know that you love her and you don't want to offend her, but you can't just go down there and spend 2 or 3 days talking sickness and talking death and doing all of this and retain this same faith level that you've got for healing." I said, "You're going to have to say something." She says, "But I'd offend her. I don't want to do that." And I said, "Well, you don't have to offend her. You can do it in a polite way." But anyway, she went down there, and because, you know, this has been the way it had been for 50 years or whatever, they sat down and started talking. And within just, I mean, within a day of her being down there, she got a cold. When she came back, she was sick and she was struggling about, "Why am I having this problem?" And it's exactly what I'm talking about right here. She had faith. She released her faith and got healed of thyroid problems, started seeing things happen. But then most people don't understand that unbelief can negate your faith. It's not that she quit believing. She didn't change her opinion about it being God's will to heal. But then you start letting all of this unbelief come in. People talking about, "Oh, this person died of cancer, and you know, there is no cure for cancer." Well, in the natural, that's true, but I'm not just in the natural. For me, there is a cure for cancer. For you, there is a cure for cancer. You don't have to be afraid of cancer or AIDS or anything else. And so, see, it's not just a matter of you knowing what the Word says and believing it, but you have to also shut off the unbelief that is flowing towards you. Faith alone will produce healing. But if faith is polluted or diluted by unbelief, it'll counterbalance that faith. It'll stop it from working. So we're talking about why people aren't healed. And the Lord said it's because of your unbelief, not because you don't have faith. Now, if a person doesn't have faith, they aren't going to be healed. But it's possible to have faith and still not see the healing because of all of the unbelief that cancels out the effect of that faith. Boy, this is a powerful, powerful truth. And again, I've got a lot more to share, so I'll continue this on our program tomorrow.
Andrew's teaching titled, "God Wants You Well," has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in 1 DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's 4-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The third teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching TI3 titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Again today, I'm offering you this book entitled Hardness of Heart that will really deal with what I talked about yesterday and today in more detail. Now, there is a price, a suggested donation that we put on this book, and we encourage you to give. We're offering the album. We're offering this little booklet on healing. We're offering the Healing Journeys video, Volume 1, and now I'm making this book on Hardness of Heart available. There's a lot of expense to us on that, so we do encourage you to give. But this would be a tremendous resource to you. So when you call in, please request or ask for information about this book on Hardness of Heart. They'll explain it to you, and I promise you this will be a blessing to you.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his book titled Hardness of Heart. This product is available for a gift of any amount. Request book T303. You can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte, to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts this week for a Gospel Truth seminar August 6th through the 8th. In Little Rock, Arkansas for a men's conference August 28th and 29th, and at Agape Church on August 30th. He'll also be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.